take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9. I want to wrap up the series that of teaching more than preaching on the importance of reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back in the spring, I just felt impressed that we needed to take a slow, deliberate walk through some principles of witnessing, of soul winning, and understanding some of the nuances of doctrine and practice that revolve around sharing the gospel with unsaved people. And so we have done that in several messages leading up to this final teaching on reaching the lost. So I want to focus for a moment this evening before we have the Lord's Supper on the importance of prayer regarding evangelism, praying for souls. And usually when we think of praying for souls, we think of the people we're praying for. No doubt you have unsaved people that you pray for. Our prayer lists oftentimes always have certain families in the church that have listed family members and people that they know that are unsaved that they're praying for. Raj and Pragina have all of their parents. Raj and Pragina were both saved out of Hinduism. Their parents are all still in Hinduism. They have on the prayer sheets the asking the church family to pray for their parents that are in Hinduism and praying for the gospel to become real to them. And others of you, several of you, have people that you pray for that are unsaved. I want us to think for a moment about praying for the conversion of lost, but looking at it from something that's a little different than what we would typically think. And as you can see, there are two prayer burdens that are listed on your little sermon worksheet this evening that I want us to take note of. The first in Matthew chapter 9 is Jesus' prayer burden, the burden that Jesus Christ carries regarding the conversion of lost people. And I wanted you to notice what Jesus' prayer burden is, and specifically what Jesus says about praying for people that are lost. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, one of the most often passages preached in missions conferences with regards to the salvation of souls around the world, the Bible says of Jesus Christ that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And very familiar passage focuses our attention that Jesus loves lost people. And it points out specifically that his consciousness and compassion for lost people is rooted in his observation of them. He saw the multitudes. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. When he saw unsaved people, he felt for unsaved people. He cared about unsaved people. He was moved with compassion on behalf of unsaved people. And so Jesus Christ saw the unsaved people. He said they're like sheep that have fainted, sheep that have lost strength, that have lost direction. The sheep that is out in a wilderness has gotten separated from the flock. It's been separated from the shepherd. And sheep are animals that don't have natural defenses. They're helpless without a shepherd. And when they are left by themselves in a wilderness and have gotten separated from their shepherd, there's nothing they can do. They have very poor eyesight, so they can't see to find their way back to the shepherd. And so oftentimes they try and they just get exhausted and they collapse with exhaustion because they have no way to fix their problem. And Jesus Christ, when he saw unsaved people, it reminded him of a sheep that is lost, that's been separated from the shepherd. And they're scattered abroad. They have no shepherd. And they finally get to the point where they're exhausted and they faint because they don't have any way to find out how to fix the problem of their life. And Jesus had compassion on them. He cared about the lost condition of people. So Jesus Christ talked about prayer. And that's our focus tonight, praying regarding this thing of lost people. And so Jesus Christ, in verse number 37, said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, There are lots of unsaved people. You can't look anywhere where there are people without seeing unsaved people. There are far more unsaved people than there are saved people. Everywhere you go, there are unsaved people. If you just open up your eyes, you'll see unsaved people. He said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous. There are lots of unsaved people that need to be reached by people who share the gospel. And so he said, but the problem is there aren't very many people going after the unsaved people. But the laborers are few. And he likened it to a field of grain or a vineyard or something in agriculture where it was the time of year to be able to harvest the ripened grain or the ripened clusters of grapes. And there is a tremendous harvest that is waiting for someone to just bring the harvest in. But there aren't any workers. There aren't any people who know how to harvest, who are willing to harvest, who care about the harvest, and who get out of their comfort zone and go into the field or into the vineyard and engage the harvest field to harvest the grain. Jesus Christ said it would be like a harvest, ready to be harvested, but there are no laborers willing to go into the harvest. So the harvest rots in the field and is lost forever because there were no laborers willing to go in to the harvest. Now, what's the resolution to this? What's the solution to all this? Verse number 38, Jesus Christ said, pray ye therefore. Pray. That's what I want us to think about for these few moments this evening. Praying for souls. Praying for evangelism. We live in a time in America where our only hope is a revival of souls saved in America. If there is not a revival that ushers a great number of people into the family of God in a remarkable heaven-sent revival that changes the heartbeat of people in America, changes the awareness of people in America, and therefore changes the voting of people in America, then we're doomed. We need revival from God in our country. And Jesus Christ said the solution is to pray. But what I want you to notice is he did not say pray for the harvest in the sense of praying for the harvest that needs to be brought in. He didn't say pray for the grapes on the vine, pray for the kernels of wheat on the stalks. He didn't say pray for the unsaved people. Now, we do pray for unsaved people. Probably everyone in this room prays for unsaved people to get saved. People that we love and that we care for, and we pray that God will save their soul. But that's not what Jesus Christ said to pray for in this passage. I want you to see something different than praying for unsaved people. Jesus said pray for Christians to care about unsaved people. He said pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus' prayer burden was not to pray for the unsaved people who need to get saved, although we need to do that, but this passage is focusing on something else. Jesus said the solution is to pray for the people who have the gospel, that they will get out into the marketplace and share the gospel. Pray for the Christians to have the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Pray for the Christians to see the multitudes and be moved with compassion. Pray for Christians to care about lost people. Pray for the pastor and the pastor's wife and the assistant pastor and the assistant pastor's wife. Pray for the deacons by name and the deacons' wives by name. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the adult Bible study fellowship leaders. Pray for the ushers. Pray for the choir members. Pray for the choir director. Pray for the choir director's wife. Pray for the members of Community Baptist Church to care about a lost harvest. That's Jesus' prayer burden. Jesus' prayer burden is that we pray for the Christians to have the heart of Jesus Christ. Every week when we give out our prayer sheets are, as you know, organized and designed to implement Jesus Christ's instruction on prayer. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "Okay, let me teach you what prayer's about. You need to talk to God. And so start your prayer, 'Our Father which art in heaven.' You need to talk to God. And you need to talk to God about five topics. You need to talk to God about five topics. First topic you need to talk to God about is His name. 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name.' And so start your prayer talking to God about who He is. Praise Him for who He is, what He's like. Talk to God about His amazing character. Just heap praise and adoration upon God regarding who He is. When you pray, spend your first time in prayer talking to God about who He is. Hallowed be Thy name. And then He said, talk to God about His agenda. Talk to God about His program. 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.' God, we want to see Your kingdom come." What is soul winning? It's simply inviting people into God's kingdom. The Bible says that when souls get saved, they're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Soul winning is merely getting people that are not in God's kingdom to become a part of God's kingdom. So when Jesus comes, He'll have a kingdom of saved people. The prayer, "Thy kingdom come," is a prayer for souls to be saved. It's a prayer for world evangelism. It's a prayer for missions and for the effectiveness of our GROW ministry and the effectiveness of our church family, that we might see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. And God's will in heaven is done absolutely. God says, "Do this," and an angel goes and does it. God's will is carried out in an absolute, immediate fashion in heaven. And the prayer is, "God, that Your will might be done here on earth the same way that it's done up in heaven." And the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's heartbeat is for souls to get saved, for His kingdom to be advanced. And that's the second topic of prayer that Jesus said. When you pray, here's what I want you to pray. I want you to start by lavishing praise on God for who He is. And then I want you to talk to God about the success of His endeavor on earth. For souls to be saved, missionaries to go, the GROW ministry to be effective, members of CBC to be effective in their soul winning, that the kingdom of God might be advanced here on this earth. And then He went on from there, talking about different topics to talk to God about. Notice that the number two prayer topic that Jesus Christ told the disciples, here's what I want you to talk to God about. After He prays on His name for who He is, I want you to talk to God about evangelism, about soul winning, about souls getting saved. Talk to God about evangelism. But then when we see Jesus Christ in action, we see that Jesus specifically is concerned about the Christians having the heart to witness. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send out laborers into His harvest. And in a few moments, when we dismiss the service and Community Baptist Church scatters across Northern Virginia, and we all go to different places tomorrow, and we are a church scattered throughout Northern Virginia, Jesus is praying that the Father is sending out laborers into His harvest field of Northern Virginia. He didn't say to His disciples, pray for the people that aren't saved, that they'll get saved. Although that's important, but that's not His focus. His focus is praying for God to work through the lives of saved people regarding their witness this week. So Jesus carried a prayer burden. His burden was that Christians might have compassion for lost people and scatter out into Northern Virginia with the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have studied and all of these lessons on reaching the lost. And that we might be prepared, that we might be armed, that we might know what to say, we might have a plan on our minds, we might know what is involved in evangelism, we might know all the nuances that we have studied for weeks here at CBC, that we have learned that, we have studied it, we have memorized, we have written plans in our Bible, we know what to say, we're ready, pray now, that we'll scatter and give the gospel to unsaved people. That's Jesus' prayer burden, that we might be active in evangelism. I found that to be interesting because when I think of praying for evangelism, the first thing I think of is praying for people that I pray for that are unsaved and praying that they'll get saved. But Jesus Christ pointed us in a different direction. I want you to notice the second prayer burden, Paul's prayer burden. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me show you a couple of verses about Paul's prayer burden. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's a letter that God used the Apostle Paul to write to a church in Ephesus. And at the end of this letter, he's concerned about evangelism. He comes to the end of the letter in Ephesians chapter number 6. And in verse number 18, he encourages the church to always be praying. And then in verse number 19, he says about prayer, he has asked them to pray, gave them some topics to pray about. And then he said in verse 19, and for me, or in other words, and pray for me. And pray for me. He didn't say, and pray for the unsaved people here in Rome that I'm witnessing to. He was in the Roman jail. He was witnessing to the praetorium guard that were set to keep him secure. He didn't say, pray for the soldiers that are here watching me, that I'm witnessing to. He said, pray for me. Pray for me. What do you want me to pray, Paul, that you get out of jail? What do you want me to pray for you, Paul, that you'll have enough to eat this week? What do you want me to pray for you, Paul, that you'll rest at night when you're laying on that cold floor? What do you want us to pray about, Paul? Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am in bonds, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now notice Paul's prayer burden. He didn't give them a list of unsaved soldiers to put on their prayer list to pray for. The burden that he carried was, pray that God will work in my heart. That as a Christian I'll be compassionate over lost people. That I'll have boldness in my witness to lost people. Pray for me that I'll open my mouth and not be silent. Pray for me that God will use me to spread the gospel in this Roman prison. So again, I notice a burden that is parallel with Jesus' prayer burden. The focus of the burden is not on the lost people. The focus of the burden is on the Christians. That they will be bold. That they will open their mouths, that they will share the gospel, that they will let others know how to be saved, that they'll be instruments in the hands of God, that God will work through them in the dispersing of the gospel. God, would you make me bold? That I'm an ambassador. Paul said, I'm an ambassador for the gospel. I'm a representative of the kingdom of God over the gospel, and that's why I'm in jail. I'm in jail because I was preaching the gospel and they didn't like what I preached, so they put me in jail. I'm an ambassador of the gospel in jail. What a crime if I'm an ambassador of the gospel in bonds and then I don't witness in jail. What a ludicrous situation this would be if I was so bold when I was over there in Israel to witness and that got me arrested. And they sent me all the way over here to Rome, and I'm in jail in Rome. What a crazy thing if I was arrested for witnessing, and then I don't witness anymore here in Rome. But it's intimidating. He was just about the only Christian he knew. He was all by himself. He was in a jail. There weren't any Christian prisoners around him. He was chained. He had different soldiers every so many hours. The guard changed. He's in an intimidating situation. Without a lot of backup support. He didn't even get to go to church every Sunday to get encouraged by his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's in an intimidating situation, in a lonely situation. And he said, I am an ambassador of the gospel. Would you pray for me that I will be bold, that I will open my mouth, that I will share the gospel as I ought to speak? The burden that he carried was not for the individuals that were lost. The burden he carried was for his own cold heart, that God would make him bold in his witness of the gospel. That's not only in Ephesians. Let me show you one more, Colossians 4. We'll just look at these two. In Colossians 4, that God is using him to write this letter to the church in Colossae. And to the church in Colossae, in chapter number 4, and in verse number 2, he kind of comes to the end of the letter and he says, now continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So here again we see him writing to another church, expressing to them that the burden that he carried was a burden for Christians to witness. And so as we end up this series on reaching the lost that has covered a number of parts of this thing of world evangelism and how it happens and what is involved in it. And we come to the end of this and we think about praying for the success of world evangelism. The burden of Jesus and the burden of Paul was not on the individual unsaved souls who needed to get saved. Their burden was a burden for Christians to be bold and to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. I take that to heart. I take notice of that, that the burden for effective evangelism is a burden for me to be bold, a burden for me to open my mouth, a burden for me to get out of my comfort zone and to pull out that gospel tract when I'm in line at the grocery store and to be a witness for Jesus Christ wherever I am. The burden for the effectiveness of evangelism is a burden for Christians to become compassionate over the lost condition of souls. And therefore, we'll do whatever it takes to get the gospel to them. I ask you the question, do you have that compassion that Jesus had for unsaved people? Do you feel that you have boldness to witness the gospel? Do you find yourselves opening your mouth boldly to witness to unsaved people and share with them the gospel? Are you involved personally with getting the gospel to unsaved people around you? If by chance anyone would say, that does not describe me. I'm saved on my way to heaven, but I really don't care about other people. At least I don't care enough about them to witness to them. No, that doesn't describe me. I'm very timid and shy. I am not bold. I am very timid and shy. No, that does not describe me. I don't open my mouth. I keep my mouth closed. I mind my own business. And I don't tell them the gospel. If that would be true of you, then you are the target of Jesus' burden. Because of the effectiveness of world evangelism is not dependent upon lost people. It's dependent upon saved people who are willing to witness to lost people. And the burden that Jesus carried and the burden that Paul carried was a burden for Christian people, that we who name the name of Christ, that we would be compassionate to the lost condition of people who will go to hell for all of eternity without the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we care enough about them. We see them as hopeless and helpless, as a poor little lamb that was separated from its shepherd and that's out there in the wilderness with the wolves and the lions, and it is in danger and it will be destroyed. And it finally faints and collapses because it doesn't know what to do. Do I care about that unsaved person that doesn't know what to do? Or even the unsaved people that don't even know they're in trouble? I'm not even aware yet that they're in trouble. Do I even care? Do I care enough to open my mouth and to boldly witness to the lost? That's Jesus' burden. That's Paul's burden for the success of world evangelism, that we who name the name of Christ might care about lost people and care deeply enough to do something about it. Pray. Pray for one another. Pray for your leader of your Bible study fellowship class that they'll be a soul winner. Pray for your Sunday school teacher that there'll be a soul winner. Pray for the choir members that they'll be soul winners. Pray for the leader of the choir that he'll be a soul winner. Pray for the pastor that I'll be a soul winner. Pray for my wife that she'll be a soul winner. Pray for the deacons and the deacons' wives that they'll be soul winners. Pray for the ushers that they'll be soul winners. Pray for every member of Community Baptist Church that we will carry the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ to the lost. That's the burden for successful evangelism that Jesus Christ carries. Now, let me get you, I don't know if you noticed, but there's something on the back of the page. We're not going to cover all this. That would make you nervous, wouldn't it? I said we were going to cover all that. But I do want you to be aware of it. And I do want you to have it to be able to read on your own. It's all about being available, being prepared and available to deal with people here in the services. I mentioned this morning that we had an adult that got saved a couple weeks ago here in the morning service in the invitation. That particular adult did not walk forward and pray with somebody. But if that adult had have come forward, would you be able to deal with them at the altar? There's an evangelist that we've had here at the church a couple of times, and we have him scheduled to come back another time. One of the things he does in his work before coming to a church to preach, and he has a passion for reaching the lost with the gospel, and one of the things he does is he encourages churches to train their altar workers and to be ready. To have altar workers who come forward at the beginning of the invitation and sit on the front rows ready to deal with people who come forward. Now, how many of us would recognize that if we had five people come forward to get saved on a Sunday morning, that would be one of the most unusual services we've ever had? We don't see people walk the aisle to get saved. But what if God broke in on a service and we had five people come forward? This particular evangelist had encouraged the church to do that, and he came and he preached. In one of the services, God just broke open, and a number of people walked forward in the invitation and were looking for someone to pray with them about salvation. And the evangelist looked at the pastor and said, "Where are your altar workers?" And the pastor had done nothing to prepare the church members to deal with anyone who might come forward, because it was very unusual for anyone to come forward in an invitation in that church. And so there's the pastor, very embarrassed, looking at the evangelist who had asked that they prepare altar workers, and he had to say to the evangelist, "We don't have anyone ready." And so there they've got a number of unsaved people looking for someone to witness to them. Nobody trained and ready to witness to them, to pray with them about salvation. And the evangelist doesn't know what to do, and the pastor doesn't know what to do, and the unsaved people don't know what to do. Let me ask you a question. If God broke in on a service this morning, and we had five unsaved people walked forward and said, "I want someone to pray with me about getting saved." And I looked up and I scanned across the auditorium to look for people who could come and deal with these people. Would you be saying, "Here, I'm ready. Choose me, Pastor. I'm ready. I'm prayed up. I've got my Bible marked. I know how to lead a soul to Christ. I'm ready. Let me have the opportunity." Or would everybody have their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and particular, if somebody thinks that the pastor might kind of catch their eye and they're not ready, their eyes are really tight. And their heads really bowed low. And they're saying, "Don't come to me." Seriously. Are you ready? Are you ready? Could you come to the altar tonight and kneel down beside an unsaved person who just came forward and said, "I need to get saved"? Would you know what to say? Would you know what to do? God help us to be ready.